You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So as you're hearing on the network news, Chief Justice Roberts putting a temporary hold on release of Trump's tax returns to Congress. Watch the Democrats would try to drum that up, trying to make more noise out of it going into the midterm. This is November 1, 2022. We are live streaming as I speak while we're on the air live at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word. Larry Connors, USA. That'll take you right to our Rumble page. You can watch us live here in studio, or you can pull it up later. It's your pleasure. I see many of you are doing that. I understand you have other things in life going on you can't watch right now. That's fine. That's good. Those of you who are watching, how do you like my costume today, even though we're past Halloween, compared to what I wore yesterday? What do you think? Yeah? Yeah, never mind. I'll let you decide. Speaking of Halloween, you keep thinking, when are they going to understand it's not the gun, stupid? Last night, of course, Halloween night, all over the nation, and in Mayor Lori Lightfoot's Chicago, 14 were shot. Several just standing on the corner, and somebody drives by and opens fire. For what reason? No reason. Just because they're there and they got a gun and they just want to be thugs. Victims included three children, ages 3, 11, and 13. You think they went out trick-or-treating thinking they'd be shot? The others aged 30s to their 50s. Thank God, none of them fatally wounded, but some are in critical condition. So as we were talking earlier in our previous hour, executives from Facebook and Twitter, including the recently fired head of Trust and Safety at Twitter, were holding regular meetings with the Department of Homeland Security to discuss censorship on a wide range of topics, including what stories are going to be reported and how they're going to be reported about us withdrawing from Afghanistan, to coronavirus and racial justice. All of that coming out of leaked documents that say there was a portal still open that anyone with a .gov could jump in and add any comments and change things up and order something taken down if they chose. All this coming to light via the leaks to The Intercept, and also documents and minutes revealed through Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt's lawsuit against the Biden administration and big tech. By the way, this number just coming out in 2021, the two largest teachers union in the nation collected over $500 million from their members, and almost all their political spending went to leftist causes. Teachers who are members of these unions who may not agree at all with where the union bosses are standing and where that money's going, yeah, they use some of your money to support things that would add to the woke culture. I say it's time to put the woke to sleep. In fact, I'm thinking about writing an essay on that. Put the woke to sleep, and I'm ready to do it. On politics, I told you yesterday, and I want to re-verify for you, the numbers still show the same. This last report on the Senate race in Georgia, showing from the University of Georgia and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, that's the largest newspaper in Georgia, showing Walker at 46%, Warnock at 45%, the incumbent Libertarian candidate pulling 5%. I've seen no new report coming out discussing, dismissing those. It's all within the margin of error. What I'm leading up to is that the Senate race in Georgia may not be decided November 8th. They may have to have a December runoff. And then you go to Pennsylvania, what's happening up there. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, that is John Fetterman's hometown paper, has endorsed Republican Dr. Mehmet Oz to be Pennsylvania's next senator. Pittsburgh Gazette says Oz is the better bet for Pennsylvania. I hope up there they're listening. In the meantime, New York Governor Hochul looking at a major upset. Congressman Lee Zeldin surging in the polls only a week left before the election. Most polls have shown Zeldin either leading or within striking distance. That means we could have a Republican governor of New York State for the first time in 20 years. Oh, by the way, just in case you missed it, Joe Biden, of course, used his opportunity to vote Saturday, to vote early, the midterms in Delaware. And he walked in and he was asked by the poll worker who's looking right at Joe Biden, says, "Do you have your photo ID?" And he was glad to reach in his pocket and pull it out. Is that not Jim Crow? Why didn't he say, "Do you not know who I am? It's Jim Crow." No, he just pulled out his ID and showed his picture ID.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Carrie Lake last night became the latest Republican to mock the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband, hit over the head with a hammer, 82 years old. The Republican nominee for governor of Arizona made a joke about that attack during a town hall last night. She was asked about school safety, and she said this.
"It is not impossible to protect our kids at school. They act like it is. Nancy Pelosi, well, she's got protection when she's in D.C. Apparently her house doesn't have a lot of protection. But...
Again, that's a joke about an 82-year-old man having his home broken into and being beaten over the head with a hammer to laughs from the crowd. NBC News reached out to Lake's campaign. The campaign responded by saying her remarks do not need clarifying."
Well, that is the way MSNBC characterized what Carrie Lake said. If you laughed, I did too a little bit, but it wasn't a joke about a man being beat over the head. The issue was apparently there's no security when it should be at House Speaker Pelosi's home. I discussed this with you yesterday, and the fact there's so many confusing parts of this story that are still not clear. The original report from the LA police, when they arrived there, a third person let them in the door. That's how they got inside. And when they get there, there are two men, one being Pelosi's husband in his underwear, which would be understandable at 2:30 in the morning if he'd just gotten out of bed, and another guy that at that time there was a report he was also in his underwear. I don't know if that's true or not. And then that they were both holding a hammer. That got confused that they were holding apparently the same hammer, either trying to wrestle away from each other. I don't know. But then police told him to let go, and I guess Pelosi did, and the guy, DePop, struck him repeatedly. And that was serious injuries. Make no mistake about it. The injuries are not laughable. That's not what they were laughing about. They were laughing about that there was no security, proper security at Pelosi home. The other part of that is, when you speak about security at Pelosi, this is Nancy Pelosi and her husband. She's a billionaire. Every home I know, our business, it has a major security system. if there's glass breakage, an alarm goes off. An alarm goes off. Police didn't report there was any alarm. And you wouldn't have to call 911. It goes direct to 911, and it's informing them there's a break-in. Or for some reason, a glass got broken. So they respond. But Pelosi said he had to go into the bathroom and use a phone that was on charge to call police. And in the beginning on the phone, he was saying whether or not he's saying what he meant for his view or he was repeating what the guy told him, that there's an intruder here. He's a friend. His name is David. Well, did Pelosi already know him or not? It's still not clear. And where's all the video from the police cams going into the house? Where is the video from the security at the house? Because you know they had to have security cameras. Listen, I still have a problem buying this entire story, but I don't want to get that deep into it. What I'm talking about here is that you've got right now that attack being linked as if Donald Trump had been the one to enter the house and beat Pelosi over the head. Just like Donald Trump was the one that went inside the Capitol and battled police and hit them over and over and defecated in a hallway or stole items. Now, if you hold them down, they're going to say, well, of course Trump didn't do it, but his rhetoric and those he inspires, they're doing, and they're suggesting that this guy is directly being guided and directed by Trump because he's kind of deranged. So help me understand this, because we'll go through this again in a moment. The leftists are willing to say this guy's so deranged that Trump can kind of direct him, or he hears voices and he thinks that's what he should do to make things better for Trump and our nation. And yet at the same time, they say that he is credible enough and sane enough to say, I was politically motivated. Which is it? Is he deranged, he doesn't know what he's doing, or if he knows what he was doing and it was political intent? Now, you're not going to get an answer. Director, actor, longtime Democrat activist Rob Reiner, meathead, as you recall from Archie Bunker, blaming Trump directly for it, saying it was directly tied to Trump challenging the legitimacy of the 2020 election. He said the violent assault on Paul Pelosi, the attempt to murder Speaker Pelosi, is directly related to that lie. Now, stop it right there. There's nothing in any confession that says a guy was going to murder Pelosi. He did say, based upon what they're saying is in the confession, I haven't seen it, so I have to go with what police say, that he said that he was going to go, if he found her, and she didn't say some things that he wanted to say her to say, I guess concede that the election was stolen or whatever, that if she lied to him, he would break her kneecaps. Now, that's still bad. Don't get me wrong. But it's not killing. Now, of course, it could have escalated to that. He said if she told him the truth, he'd be okay and let her go. But if she lied, he intended to break her kneecaps. And remember, he had some zip ties on him. And they said, oh, look. Because in January 6th, some of those people inside the Capitol had zip ties. They must have all gotten in the same place. Wholesale buy on zip ties. Pun intended here. So that ties it all together. BS, I call. Pull that card, flash it high. But again, let's go back to MSNBC and say, look at this attack again. You got to trust the attacker.
Ted Cruz, a prominent United States senator, amplifying that conspiracy theory. And we should point out in that FBI affidavit, Mr. DePapp confesses to this being politically motivated. He describes explicitly what he wanted to do and why he wanted to do it because of politics, debunking, in his own words, the conspiracy theory.
So which is it? Are we going to say that he debunked it and yet he did it for political motive, or was he doing it because he was being pushed around or led by the nose or by the ear by Donald Trump? Now, when he refers to Senator Ted Cruz, was also mocking, as Kerry Lake had done, reference the Pelosi attack. Kerry Lake was not talking and mocking about Paul Pelosi being hurt. She was talking about security at the Pelosi house. There is a difference, but not in their mind. Ted Cruz, shortly after he learned that the 82-year-old had been assaulted in his house, tweeted out, Ted Cruz, we can have our political differences, but violence is always wrong, unacceptable. And then the way they write this, the Independent, which bills itself as a liberal pro-market stance on economic newspapers, proudly refers to itself as a proud liberal newspaper. So that gives you the intent of where they're coming from. Then they write, the Republican lawmaker then made an about-face of those earlier sympathies as he began posting tweets from unreliable sources that seemed to promote falsehoods and innuendo about the suspected attacker, 42-year-old David DePoppy, or whatever his name would be. And in one case, a screenshot from alt-right activist Matt Walsh, as they're identified here by the Independent liberal paper, in which he pushed back against information that's been reported. And, of course, don't forget that you had Elon Musk tweet out briefly that, I wouldn't be surprised, basically, there's something amiss here, there's something else not being told. He later took that down. But I still have that question. There's still a lot about this we're not being told. And here's why. They want you to concentrate on what created the attack, and they're going to put it at the feet of Donald Trump. Don't pay attention to what actually went down inside the house or how the man got in or what was really said, what was intended. Was he invited in? Was there something else going on? I'm asking. I'm not saying. But they don't want you to even look at that. Just look at the fact that it happened, and you got to blame Trump. Jen Psaki, of course, served for a period of time as a White House spokeswoman, now working for the dollar at MSNBC. She knows how to tie it together against Trump.
These threats, this threat against Speaker Pelosi, what happened to her husband, this is completely sick. I think we all agree on that. But the problem here is that it's not just that Republicans are making jokes like Ted Cruz and Carrie Lake and that they're also silent. It's that I don't think Carrie Lake and Ted Cruz are going to come to anybody's home and threaten them. Their silence and their jokes are giving people a green light out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of crazy people, people who are following conspiracy theories online. It's almost like whack-a-mole for law enforcement and people who are trying to track this down, because it's hard to know who's following what conspiracy theory and what are they going to act on. And I have never been a member of Congress, never will be blissfully, but I've had lots of threats. Threats to my kids, to my family, my home address. And this is the kind of stuff that it's not, again, Ted Cruz is not coming to my house, thank God. But he is allowing and giving the green light for this to happen.
No, he's not, but you're going to say it anyway. But if you're going to take that approach, may I also say that the silence of Democrats through the 2020 summer riots, looting, arson, trying to burn down a federal courthouse with federal agents inside, and Democrats, crickets, were they not, and their silence, encouraging it to continue? And when demonstrators took over a part of Seattle, and the mayor said, oh, we're just going to have a summer of love, and she just abandoned the area around a police station. Remember that? Democrats didn't make any complaints about, yeah, you know, people got to do what they got to do, I think. Nancy Pelosi said something like that. Well, they're angry. They're going to do what they're going to do. So it's acceptable in that case. VP Harris accepted it. Joe Biden accepted it. Maxine Waters even basically encouraged it. Said, if you see them out somewhere, if you see one of them, talking about the Trump people, go out there and get in their face and tell them you're not welcome here. And that's what happened, of course, to Trump's press secretary, Sarah Huckabee, as she and her family simply went out for dinner. Other members of the Trump staff, I believe it included Kellyanne Conway, I could be wrong about that, but they went out for dinner, and again, they got assaulted at the dinner, basically verbally assaulted and chased out. And of course, while the left is insisting that silence from the right is encouraging this, and then some of these other far-righter are, you know, being acceptable, and, of course, they want to deny the election took place. Even Rob Reiner, Meathead, said it's the big lie for 2 years that Trump continues to spread. Well, to that point, New Jersey Governor Sununu, Republican, was on with Chuck Todd, and they were talking about that whole issue of election deniers.
I go back to you. Why are you supporting an election denialist? And do you think the inflation issue is enough to sort of rationalize support for somebody who thinks school buses of voters are going to show up in New Hampshire?
Yeah. Yeah, let me tell you, you're in a bubble, man. I love you, Chuck, but you are in a bubble if you think anybody is talking about what happened in 2020 or talking about Mar-a-Lago and all that. I know the press loves to talk about it. People are talking about what is happening in their pocketbooks every single day.
Look, I get that, Governor. When they have to buy groceries or fill up gas, or right now.
Well, that should be far away. Should they be?
Okay.
How could they? Of course. Oh, my gosh, Chuck, this is hitting people. They're having trouble paying their mortgage. They're having trouble making car payments because of bad policies out of Washington. Should they be? That is, look, the beauty of the American system is every voter has the right and almost the responsibility to be selfish with their vote, to vote in terms of what is best for their family, the better choice for schools, better economic opportunity. And that's exactly what's going to happen in a week, which is why Hassan's going to get fired. A whole bunch of these Democrats are going to get fired because, frankly, folks that think that we're that the average voter is worried about 2020, the average voter, it's a serious issue, of course, but it is not what people are going to be voting on in the next week. And that kind of has baffled me through this whole campaign season, the fact that Democrats keep pushing this stuff and talking about things that aren't really what voters want to hear about, or aren't really connecting with the empathetic challenges that the average voter is seeing every day.
And that includes Democrats. You're not talking about what affects me and my family. You keep talking about January 6th and election deniers. I'm more worried about a survey focusing on minorities, specifically black women, found almost 80% of them said, my biggest concern is how I can feed my family and put food on the table and gas prices. So he's right. Governor Sununu is right. Chuck Todd and the rest of those libs live in a bubble. But to that extent, my next guest is going to point out that as they continue to blame conservatives for the attack on Pelosi, the intent is to chill conservative speech. Stand by, please.
I could be holding you tonight. Could quit doing wrong and start doing right. You don't care about what I think. Think I'll just stay here and drink.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Before we go to my guest, Federalist Senior Editor David Harsanyi, talking about how the Democrats are trying to chill Republican speech by labeling them, anything you say about the Pelosi attack, if you don't walk our walk, then you're a nasty, mean person. And, of course, an election denier. Speaking of election deniers, I mentioned a moment ago that Meathead from Archie Bunker, Rob Reiner, who thinks he is a political analyst, in a tweet stated that Donald Trump, quote, has been spreading the big lie for 2 years, denying that he lost the election. So did Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton, yes, did concede the night of the election, but since then she has denied and every day has found another way to make herself relevant, saying, well, I should have won, you know. They had that Russian collusion thing. Well, that didn't work. All right, let's try something. And then you got Stacey Abrams. Now, Stacey Abrams running for governor again in Georgia, and the latest poll shows Kemp is ahead 8 to 10 points at this point, at this time, not likely to go her way at all again. But she said, it's wrong to say that my refusal to concede actually says that I didn't believe the election was right. Well, why wouldn't you concede? She was cautioning again just yesterday, say, don't confuse my refusal to concede in the 2018 governor's race as with Trump's false claims of stolen election. Said that would be wrong and dangerous for democracy. And here's her quote. I will never say it's okay to claim fraudulent outcomes as a way to give yourself power. That is wrong. I reject it whenever engage in it. But I do believe it's imperative, especially those who have the platform and the microphone, to talk about access. So what she is saying, the issues I raised were not grounded in making me governor, is because those who would have voted for me were denied access. That is exactly the same thing. It's just spoken in a different way. Oh, they love these word games. PolitiFact is a publication supposedly looking at journalists and independent fact-checking journalism. They were referring to a piece that Lee Zeldin, one of 100 who's now running for New York governor and may well end up winning. He was one of the 147 Republicans who voted against certifying election results after the mob stormed the Capitol January 6th. And he also brought up and said, we know that every January 6th, every 4 years, whenever any Republicans elected president over the last few decades, same date, same time, same place, we've had Democrats on the floor, House of Democrats, objecting and debating. Well, federal law calls for U.S. Congress to meet at 1 p.m. on January 6th following the meeting of electors to certify the election results. They're read in alphabetical order. During the meeting, the President of the Senate shall call for objections, if any. And PolitiFact points out attempts to object to election results, yes, they have been made in some fashion. You know, kind of, they did something, but House Democrats in 2001, 2005, and, oh, yeah, 2017. Of course, the successful nominations of George W. Bush and Trump, both Republicans. But they then try to put a qualifier on it, which is a fact, but this is what the Democrats play off of. Unlike Republican objections in 2021, Democrat objections in the 20s or 2000s happened after the losing candidate had conceded. In other words, because Hillary conceded, that made it different that then they could go in there and contest the final count. What the hell does that mean? It is another word game. They take a fact, and it's a fact. It's a fact that Hillary, quote, did concede that night, as Abrams apparently did concede. But when they turn right around and deny and say, well, my voters weren't allowed access, or it's Russian collusion or anything, that's not being an election denier? Of course it is. You know it, and I know it, and they also know it. They just won't acknowledge it. But what they are doing right now, as I mentioned earlier, and my next guest is going to back it up and give us more detail. They're using the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband as a perfect example of Trump derangement. And it's all an effort to chill conservative speech. In other words, you sit down, shut your mouth.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. I want to begin by reading a paragraph of something I have here in front of me. The left's insistence that every conservative personally condemn the actions of the mentally ill man who attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, has nothing to do with lowering the rhetoric temperature or averting violence, and everything to do with trying to compel Republicans to take responsibility for the incident. That appears in the Federalist under a title, Blaming Conservatives for the Attack on Pelosi is a Cynical Effort to Chill Speech, written by the senior editor of the Federalist, David Harsanyi. David, glad to have you on board, sir.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You've done an excellent job of laying out what we've been talking about earlier today, that all of this is, once again, just like January 6th, is going to be used to beat Republicans over the head forever, regardless of the facts of the case. Go ahead, sir.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's complicated because obviously everyone, or well, decent people, condemn violence, especially political violence, because it undermines our system of debating and of moving moving legislation and dealing with these things in the political arena. However, every time there is any kind of even inkling that someone on the right has committed any act of violence, it immediately becomes this thing where everyone has to take responsibility for it on the right. Well, there are two problems with that. One is that I don't, for instance, support anyone beating up Mr. Pelosi or rioting on January 6th or things like that. So I shouldn't have to take responsibility for those things. While at the same time, there's a double standard. We had riots in 2020. Yep. We had someone try to assassinate Justice Kavanaugh. We had someone, not long ago, there was a Black Lives Matter activist who killed police officers in Dallas.
Right.
No one takes responsibility for those specific incidents, and no one, and nor should they. You know, I mean, in a sense, it's not like just because you're a Black Lives Matter proponent that you think that police officers should be shot. But we have to have one standard in this country. It doesn't work when we have two different standards. That's basically what I was trying to say.
And to that extent, like you said, the left was silent during 2020 rioting. But we have statements from them as well. At that point, Pelosi was making remarks, and so was VP Harris, similar to, well, people are upset. They got to do what they got to do. And then you got Democrat Congresswoman why am I drawing a blank on her name from Houston, that was basically saying, if you see one of these Trump people out in public, you go get in their face and you tell them you don't belong here. And remember, they're chasing Susan Huckabee out of the dinner with her family when she was serving as White House spokeswoman?
Yeah. And also, how about this? I mean, you remember Chuck Schumer was on the steps of the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Essentially threatening two of the justices for decisions they, you know, regarding abortion specifically, you know, when just because it wasn't going to go his way, most likely. They're, you know, because he, you know, because those justices care about the Constitution and overturned Roe v. Wade, abortion nowhere mentioned in the Constitution. Now, we can disagree about that, I guess, but there's no reason to threaten justices. But what they've done, you know, which is a little bit of a different topic, is try to delegitimize those institutions because things aren't going their way.
Yeah. And you will will reap the whirlwind of what you've sold here.
Exactly.
And then you got Congressman Steve Scalise and the shooting. And when the gunman walks up and says, are these Republicans? And he gets an affirmative, then he starts shooting. Now, he had a link to Bernie Sanders. No one I know on the right said, oh, well, Bernie Sanders put him up. Not one of us. I know I didn't, and I don't know anyone else. Because the guy, whether or not he was a Bernie supporter, I would not make that connection. But they have no problem in saying, this guy, you know, he had a lot of stuff lined him with QAnon and Trump. And on one hand, they want to say he's deranged, and yet he's competent enough to say, I did it for a political motive. Which is it?
Right. Well, you know, and I hate to break the news to people, but, you know, there has been left-wing violence in this country for a long time.
Yes.
And, you know, in the 70s, there were bombings all the time, every month across this country. You can go back even earlier to, you know, before World War I, you had sort of left-wing violence. Now, I'm not saying that I just don't think that people should be inhibited by terrorists or mentally ill people grabbing onto something they say and committing violence. We're against that violence, but that doesn't mean that we should be inhibited from saying the things that we believe, as long as we're not inciting that sort of riot. And most of the comments that they're pointing to are not incitements of violence at all. Now, all of a sudden, you're not allowed to say words like targeting. You know, we're targeting Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
Well, she is one of the most powerful political operatives in this country. She's an elected official, but, you know, she's very powerful. And it is perfectly fine to target her as a political, I hate to use the word now, but enemy. I mean, it is a political opponent, and it is fine to target her. They do it with McConnell, they do it with Trump, they do it with everyone.
And most recently with Carrie Lake, because she was mentioning in a speech that, you know, don't let them tell you we can't protect our school kids. We can protect our school kids. We can have security at the schools. Of course, Nancy Pelosi's house apparently needs security help, and everybody kind of laughed. And they said, look, she's mocking the attack of this 82-year-old grandfather. She had nothing to say about attacking the man. She had previously said, we all pray for him, but she's talking about lack of security of the house, which does raise a lot of questions. How the hell did he get in with all the security she should have? But that was the point, had nothing to do with the attack. But they're going to put it together anyway. It fits the narrative.
Yeah, and even if she made a ham-fisted joke about it, so what? She's obviously not calling for more violence.
No.
And you speak to another part of this. Well, you know, it's always best these days to wait a few days to let a story shake out before you learn the truth, because it's just the way that it's leaked or because it's untrue. But there were a lot of legitimate questions about that incident that people wanted.
And
because we don't trust reporting anywhere, we don't trust these institutions to tell us the truth. And that's a whole different ball game and a different problem there.
Well, you remember how everybody bought into Jussie Smollett's story. I mean, he's there, still has a rope around his neck, but he has his sandwich. And nobody, they all bought in. I mean, because he said the guys had MAGA hats on, or this is MAGA country.
Yeah. So, you know, the more you learn about this particular person who attacked Pelosi, you know, the more you realize that obviously it was not, it was a drug-addled mind, probably, from what we hear from the mother of his children, but also that he was not mentally well. And I take zero responsibility for his actions. I have nothing to do with them. He's not part of my political movement. He does not, you know, I don't agree with the things that he did or even the things that he said. But they want you to take ownership of it. That's why they're so insistent on you personally condemning that particular incident. Well, I have no more to do with that than a Democrat, right?
Well,
I have a lot of left-wing views as well.
I can't let you get off. What did you have to do with black slavery? I know you had to have something to do with that, right? Bringing slaves.
Really. My ancestors were in the Pale in Ukraine being oppressed by a Russian. So not much.
But you know we joke a little bit about it. But the bottom essence and the critical essence of your article in the Federalist is that all of this is anything they can do to stop anybody from speaking up. For instance, I'm afraid I'll be. I noticed that the Washington Post. Critic Eric Wimple said that we did not speak out and say when things were being done wrong as we should have because we were cowering in the face of the cult woke that might destroy us.
Well, I don't know about me. I don't feel
well.
Really,
let me put it this way: how many people do you think stay silent because I got my job, my family? I'm not going to say anything.
Well, I mean, listen, I think that, you know, I get to speak out because I do it for a living. I'm not scared to say whatever I believe, and I'm not really scared to get canceled or anything like that. But I know that there are, you know, and I'm not talking about this specific incident,
sure,
just being a conservative sometimes in general. It's very difficult when you work in a place where you might be, you lose your livelihood and your insurance for your family. I realize that it's not as easy for other people to speak out and say what they believe. And that's, it shouldn't be that way in this country, right? It should not be.
There's your First Amendment.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we have it. And I always make this argument, like, there, of course, there's a legal aspect to the First Amendment, but there's also a spiritual aspect to it. If you don't believe in open discourse and you don't believe in debate and you want to shut down from speaking, even if it's legal for you to do it, let's say on a social media platform, that still undermines the essence of the First Amendment and what we're supposed to be about in the country. And if you don't believe it under that level, sooner or later, the law is not going to matter very much.
Well, in the last 30 seconds, I know you have a new book out, Euro Trash, your most recent out of five, Euro Trash, Why America Must Reject the Failed Ideas of a Dying Continent. I think the title probably says, do not follow that road. And right now they're going to maybe freeze this winter, but in 15, 20 seconds, it's on the market, available now, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess the biggest issue now is the energy, right?
Yes.
And what Germany did to their energy production and how they're now, you know, closed all their nuclear plants and are actually relying more on coal. And we're going to be headed in the same direction if we're not smart about it.
Absolutely. David Harsanyi, senior editor of the Federalist, thank you very much for your time. I know you've got a lot on your schedule. I appreciate you sharing with our audience.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, David. Coming up, so what do you think about giving amnesty to all those who locked you down during COVID and just say, okay, well, we understand, you're forgiven.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You know, the stories that came out of COVID of folks that were kept from their loved ones, especially as they were dying, they're heartbreaking on top of everything else. I had a close relative pass away, and we were not near enough to go see him anyway, but his wife was there, and because she was a nurse, she was allowed to go in and be with him. But many other folks, if they had a parent, a child, a grandparent who was in ICU being treated for COVID and maybe facing terminal COVID, no one was allowed near them. None. No member of the family, unless you happen to be in the medical field. And what really breaks your heart if it's especially the older, I'm just talking about anybody that you feel so lonely, it's just you and not, you can't see any of your family, they can't come see you, and that's your last lifeline in many ways, in the sense of that might give you hope and help you come through it. Maybe you could come through it, maybe not. I'm not trying to say for sure it would work, but how many folks were not even allowed to be with their loved one, and they had to pass away in loneliness, and maybe passed away even sooner because the body was just shutting down, depressed. We've had numerous stories over the years, and I know I've documented many for you as well. A husband of 60, 70 years to his wife passes away, and within an hour, she passes away, or the other way around. The relationship that you have that ties you to this earth above and beyond God is people that mean something to you in your life. And COVID, they were using that as a reason, and they said at the time it was a good reason to keep you from being near them. You couldn't even have a funeral for them. I remember in the case of my relative, they were thinking about, you know, he always wanted to help science. Maybe we'll donate his body to the university so they can study it better. No, they didn't want to have anything COVID either. They didn't want it coming into their place. They ended up doing a cremation. But the Atlantic is now pushing an idea that maybe we need to forgive those who oppressed us during COVID. The far left Atlantic, by the way, was very active in promoting the fact that you need to follow the law, do what you're told, follow the orders you're given. And if you recall, you were shamed, ridiculed, fined, punished, bankrupted because they said you got to shut your business down, you can't go do this. Our kids had to go into Zoom learning, which has turned out to be a massive failure. The risk to children was minimal, but they still closed the schools, had toddlers wearing masks, crying and not sure what's going on, couldn't read facial expressions. That hurt their future learning. But then you could see Black Lives Matter and Antifa gatherings, and they could march in the streets with or without masks, and they were just fine. But you could not gather at your church. Liquor stores were declared necessary. Churches and synagogues often locked down because of COVID. And of course, if you dared dispute any of their rules and their lockdown, then you were a piece of scum because you didn't understand and follow the science. Well, of course, now with it all, the science was constantly changing and in some cases being ignored and being falsely reported to us. And the Atlantic had a part of that. This Atlantic piece asking that maybe it's a time to have amnesty for those who locked you down and gave you false or what they thought was real information, or maybe they knew they were lying but they thought it was for your own good, that they just want to say, we didn't know. We didn't know at the time, so forgive us. I'm willing to understand there was a lot of uncertainty. But when other people were saying we got other scientists says, no, you can't have that science. When we're saying, well, I'm willing to take my chance. This is what we're going to do. Again, you'd be slandered, blackballed, lose your job. You don't want to boost. You don't get the shot. We're going to fire you. And they did. Military included, unless you had a good lawyer and you could fight your way through the courts. But now the Atlantic Magazine and some other, and believe me, other leftists have probably prompted this writing. Maybe we need to forgive those who locked us down and said you can't do any of this stuff. No, I think what we need is an accounting. A full accounting of what you did and how you did it to us and why you did it, and admit that you're using it as a power against the people. Now, I hear all the time members of the left, stand up for the people. They weren't standing up then. They were all bought in because it was a power plunge, and it was a perfect storm going into the Trump-Biden election. It really was. I have no feeling of amnesty for those who were doing that, because they wouldn't listen to anyone else but themselves. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.